Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for having me along this morning. It's a great honor and privilege to be with you. Today is the first time I have been with you, and it's a really great pleasure to see many people that I have known from days gone by. Some I've known whose names I've forgotten, and others I haven't known at all. Now, I've got one important question to ask. The preliminaries have gone on now for over 45 minutes, and I do not know how much time I've got to preach. So can someone help me? Will I finish at 1:30? Oh, so you suggest the preacher's going on, are you? Okay. Well, we'll do our best to keep it reasonable this morning. Now, this morning I want to speak to you on the subject, faith is not easy. And I want to use Abraham as a person to illustrate what I'm going to speak about. If some of you were at the Bible Institute this past week, where I spoke to the chapel service, I mentioned some of these things. And it's been capturing my own mind and my own heart, because there are so many Christians today who are depressed because they feel they've got to keep up a certain facade. They feel that there's got to be a certain kind of a Christian persona that they've got to present to the world. And if they don't present that to the world, in some way they are failing. But I want to tell you today that I believe that faith is a very difficult thing to do. And to live by faith and to be a Christian is not easy. And it is a constant struggle. And the story of Abraham illustrates this for us. And I want to also say this, that the story of Abraham is only in part there, written there for us, so that we may learn what it is to live by faith. But the story of Abraham contains immense promises from God, which contains the heart of the story. And the promises that God gives to Abraham, in fact, is the heart of the whole gospel story. But there's no time today for me to elucidate on that at all. So I want to speak to you, especially this morning, simply on Abraham, the man. And I want to point out to you why it is that faith is not always easy to do. And I hope that it'll be a help to you. Now, the contraption that I've got up here with me is a recorder that has specially been commissioned by the radio people. Now, every sermon I've preached is broadcast over 24, 25 different radio stations. And my wife handles that. She does all the radio work that we do. And she edits all the sermons, and unfortunately the radio people do not accept the normal sort of recording equipment that churches use. There's a special voice recorder, and we've had to get one, and this is it. So I hope you don't mind the additional technology this morning, but that's what it's all about. So now we turn to Genesis chapter 12, and you have had it read to you. The radio people also insist that the same voice that preaches must read the scriptures. But I'm not going to read the whole scripture over to you again. I'm going to make reference to it this morning. So I want to talk to you today about Abraham. And I want you to see how faith is not an easy thing to do. And I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you this morning. So let me start by reading Genesis chapter 12. And I want to read the opening verses. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you." So the first thing I want to say this morning is this, that faith introduces you into the world of God's sovereignty and God's mercy. I want you to think for a moment of the story of Abraham suddenly hearing the voice of God. You must remember that Abraham was not a believer or a Christian. He was not even an Israelite, because the Israelite nation did not exist at this time. Abraham, we are told, lived in Ur of the Chaldees. He was a Chaldean, and the Chaldean were idolaters. They worshipped the moon and astral gods. They were a great city that had all sorts of various gods and goddesses and various idols. And Abram was part of that whole setup. And when he hears the voice of God, he's 75 years old, which by the standard of that day would approximately have been about middle age. But Abram grew up a very sophisticated person, and a person who was used to the idolatry of the age. And so hearing the voice of God would have been outside of his frame of reference. He would not have understood it. And so somehow God got through to this man. And how did God get through to him? Well, we don't know. We are simply told that God spoke to Abraham and said. Now, how did God speak to him? We wish we knew. Did God give him a vision? Did God send an angel to him? Did God speak to him directly out of nowhere and just speak to his heart? We don't know. All we know is that God, in some miraculous way, exercising his sovereign power over the creature that he had made, spoke to his heart and mind and moved Abraham to do something he would not normally have done. Now I want you to think about that for a moment, because you may have been a Christian for many, many years and you may have forgotten certain things. You may, of course, have grown up in a Christian home. You may have been converted through other means. But whatever it was, that moment when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior was a momentous moment when the sovereignty of God broke into a heart of unbelief and transformed you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You would not have followed Jesus of your own accord. You would not have turned to Christ out of your own volition. Something happened to you to bring you to that point where you would have followed Jesus Christ. And so the same power that turns us from darkness to light today is the power that somehow spoke to Abraham in his own pagan darkness in some way which we don't understand and brought forth from him a desire or a willingness to do what God told him to do. And what God told Abraham to do was to leave your people and your father's household and go to a land that I will show you. And so you must remember what that might have meant for Abraham. If you want to understand how faith is hard to do, you've got to remember how hard it was for Abraham and then remember how hard it was for you. You must remember that Abraham lived in a massive city which was very sophisticated but was given over to idolatry. So when God spoke to Abraham and Abraham began to obey him, and people said to Abraham, what do you do packing your camels and getting ready to leave? Abraham would say, well, God told me to. And they would have said, which God? Because the God who spoke to Abraham was a God without an image. And it was unknown to the people of Abraham's day to have a God without an image. All the gods had images. They were all gods of stone or gods of wood or gods of something. So that anybody in Ur of the Chaldees could have said to Abraham, well, that's my God over there, or that's my God over there. But Abraham would have said, well, I also thought that that was my God. But there's another God who spoke to me. And who is this God? And God is impossible to describe to people, as you know yourself today. And so this is the God who spoke to Abraham, a God without an image. Furthermore, he was a God without a place of worship. He was a God without anywhere to go to. Now, it was unheard of for people in Abraham's day to have a God without a temple or God without a shrine. Archaeologists tell us that there was a massive ziggurat or a temple in Ur of the Chaldees, which probably pointed to the skies and to the panoply of heavenly gods that these people worshipped at the time. But the God who spoke to Abraham had no temple. Because he doesn't need temples. He's the sovereign creator God of the universe. So you can imagine that this is a God who was outside of the reference of both Abraham and the people that he lived with. He was a God no one had heard of before. And this is the God who spoke to Abraham. And my friends, when God spoke to you as a young or an old person and brought you to himself, it's the same God who spoke to Abraham, God without an image, a God without a shrine, a God without a building. This is the God who spoke to you. And the reason why I mention it to you is because very often both you and people outside of the church have wrong images of God, wrong ideas of God. God is outside of our frame of reference. He's different to us. He's completely different to us, which is why many of your friends can't understand the gospel message. Because the gospel message does not fit into any of our human categories at all. It is a message that is outside of our human understanding. But the God who spoke to Abraham is a God who gave him a promise, a God who gave him a command, and a God who gave him a promise, which indicates that the God who spoke to Abraham is a God of purpose. He has a plan and a purpose for his world and for those who live in it, and in particular for Abraham. So here was a personal God with a plan for Abraham, speaking to him in his darkness and in his lack of understanding, and introducing Abraham to the idea of a sovereign God far above anything he could have understood, and into a mystery, for God does not explain to Abraham how he's going to have the people that's going to follow him and become a great nation, or how he's going to have the land. He simply says to Abraham, get up and go. And so faith is hard to do. And when you became a Christian, God spoke to you, and you knew instinctively that when you became a Christian, you were going to run into difficulties with people you knew or people you loved. And yet God did not tell you how you were going to overcome those difficulties. He simply said to you, in effect, what he said to Abraham, get up and go. Or in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, get up and come. Come to me and I will give you life. And so the first thing I want to point out to you that faith is hard to do, because it introduces us into the sovereignty and into the mystery of the great God of the universe who sent his Son into the world. And the second thing I want to point out to you is this, that when God intervenes in our lives and calls us to faith, faith means great personal upheaval. And so it was that Abraham was called, says God, to leave your father's household and to go to the land I will show you. Now that was a very hard thing to do, to leave your household, to leave your people, and to go to the land that I will show you. Remember first of all where Abraham came from. He came from a city called Ur. I don't want you to think that Abraham was a little village man who was a kind of a Bedouin. Abraham was a sophisticated city person. Ur of the Chaldees was considered one of the great cities of its day. If you spoke of Ur of the Chaldees in those days, it would be the equivalent of speaking about New York or London or Tokyo in this day. And Ur of the Chaldees was considered one of the greatest sophisticated cities in existence at the time. It was the beginning of the Bronze Age, around about 2000 BC. And lots of new things were happening. It was a city that was at the cutting edge of technology at the time. And Abraham grew up in that city. He grew up probably as a wealthy person, because he had people and he had slaves and he had servants. And he was already 75 years old. The one thing he did not have was a child. And God said to Abraham, he had a beautiful wife, but he had no children. And God says to Abraham, get up and go. I want you to leave Ur. I want you to leave the sophistication. I want you to leave all the privileges. I want you to leave the cutting edge. I want you to leave all of this behind. I want you to leave behind all of your previous world view. I want you to leave behind your family. I want you to leave behind your culture. If you tell people to leave behind their culture today, you're in trouble. But God said to Abraham, leave your culture, and I want you to follow me, and I'm going to do great things with you, in you, and through you. And this caused tremendous problems for Abraham. Well, now, when we become Christians, the same thing happens to us. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said this, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be members of his own household. So you see, our Lord Jesus Christ warns us that when we become Christians, it is very possible that a sword will enter into our lives, cutting aside all the ties we used to have, because he brings with him something heavenly, something sovereign, something mysterious that pushes us onwards into a new life. And it does not fit into any ideas that your family may have had or your previous circles may have had. And following the Lord Jesus Christ may have caused problems in your family as it has caused problems in many, many families. And as we know from the various missionary readouts we have, it causes problems for many people in the East today. But it also causes problems here. Because on many occasions in my pastoral life, I've had to encounter people who have had to suffer the wrath of a husband or the dismissal of a wife or the wrath of family members of one sort or another because they've seen the light that God has brought into their hearts and they become followers of Jesus Christ. And so I want to point out to you that faith is hard to do, not only because it introduces us to the world of sovereignty and of mystery, but it introduces us into a world sometimes of very great upheaval, both at home and at work, and that socially in our lives, and not only when we get converted, but as we go along the Christian highway, we come across different issues in our lives where we've got to make decisions that are righteous and true and in accordance with what we say we believe. And that sometimes causes all kinds of upheaval for us in our lives as we have to say things that are true to people who don't want to hear it. So here was Abraham, an ordinary man, living an ordinary life, who was suddenly faced with a tremendous struggle to leave everything that he knew and to follow a God that he hardly knew, but feeling in his heart that a compulsion that he had to do this. So he leaves his great city, he leaves his culture, he leaves his family and his friends, and off he goes. And who knows what emotions must have gone through his life. The Bible's not interested in giving us all kinds of details about these things. But you can imagine as a human being the kind of depression and uncertainty that he would have experienced and the criticism that he would have got from people round about him and the close friends and the social circle that he had. And so the gospel brings great upheaval into our lives. The third thing I want to say that makes faith difficult to do is that faith must be miraculously placed into our hearts before we can follow through with it. Now, you may recall what the book of Hebrews says about Abraham, and if you don't, I'm going to read it to you, because this is what it says. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, where did that element of faith come from? That ability to trust that God was telling the truth and that he would follow him and go to a place where he did not know where he was going. By faith, by that same mysterious power and dynamic that comes into our lives, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. And when you become a Christian and I become a Christian, we become strangers in a foreign country. This is no longer our land. Fishik is no longer your place. South Africa is no longer your place. The world is no longer your place as we know it today. We are strangers in the land, like Abraham was. He didn't start out like that. He started out as a sophisticated dweller and a member, a citizen of Ur of the Chaldees, but he became a tent dweller for the sake of the calling of God. And he lived like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For somehow, he didn't know how, he couldn't put it into words like you can, but the scripture says, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Somehow Abraham knew that something good was going to happen. Somehow he knew that there was a destiny in front of him. He didn't know what it was. He couldn't have explained it. He couldn't have articulated it. But there was a force within him, a dynamic within him, that made him do what God wanted him to do. My friends, not one of you here today would have become a Christian if you were not given the gift of faith when God opened your eyes and your heart to become a believer in Jesus Christ. And that same faith is the faith that we exercise day by day when we go through all the uncertainties of life and the twists and turns and the disappointments of life as we face it today. Faith is no stranger to us. We exercise it every day, but not in the spiritual sense. You get up in the morning after once thinking that you won't be there at night to go to bed again. You go to bed at night not thinking that you won't be there in the morning to get up again. You sit down in a pew without thinking that it's going to collapse underneath you. We do all sorts of things by faith during the course of the day. But that special, unique faith to put our trust in a God we cannot see and we cannot touch, that faith comes from Him alone. And when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He did on the cross for us, when Jesus says to us through the preaching of a sermon or the reading of the Bible or reading of a book or the witness of a friend, come to me, and we feel that inward impulse to come to Jesus, that is not of our own accord. That is the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to do what we cannot do by our own power and to bring us to Christ. And here is Abraham following the road of faith, doing what he's got to do by the dynamic of God in his own heart, but not finding it easy to do. So to exercise faith, you've got to have a motivation inside your heart and mind. So when God said to Abraham, leave your city and your father and your mother, it's put very shortly into the scriptures. And we kind of read over it and just read the story of Abraham. But you've got to put a human being into that story. You've got to put his feelings there. You've got to put his worldview there. You've got to put his own personal dynamics there. You've got to put his family there. And you've got to understand that God worked in a supernatural way to bring Abraham to where he was. But it was not easy to do. And faith is not easy to do unless God in his great power enables us to do what we've got to do on a day-by-day basis. So do you live by faith day-by-day? Do I live by faith day-by-day? And if I do, it's not of my own accord. I start off every morning, I say, Lord, give me grace to be a Christian today. Help me today. Every morning, every one of you, myself included, should repent and say, Lord, today I ask you to convert me to your ways so that every day I'll be more and more converted to the ways of God and to the ways of heaven, and help me to be the man that you want me to be today or the woman that you want me to be today. And so you've got to have an inner dynamic, and that inner dynamic comes when God places his Holy Spirit in your heart and you receive the new birth. Fourthly, I want to point out to you that faith is not easy to do, because with the life of faith comes a life full of distractions and difficulties. Now when Abraham heard the call of God, we read that God said to him, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. Now, if you're looking at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, it actually reads in the Hebrew that the Lord had said to Abraham. And back in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen gives his marvelous speech before he dies as a martyr about the history of the people of Israel, he tells us that Abraham had heard the voice of God in Mesopotamia. But Abraham took his family with him. And he took the whole gang with him on his way to the promised land. And they reached a place called Haran, which was approximately halfway there. And Haran was under the influence of Ur and had a lot of Ur's influences there. And Haran's father decides that this is the place to stay for a while. And so Abram gets distracted and he stays in the city of Haran. And he settles down there. The scripture says in chapter 11 of Genesis that they settled there. But they're not in the promised land. He took his family with him. He took consideration of his family. And so the family began to exert their influence over Abraham and he stayed there. It's easy to get distracted, you see, dear friends. There are many people who don't come to church because they are distracted. I never understand why Christians don't come to church on the days when the world sets aside days for cycle races and other things like that. And we give our priorities to those things. What are we? Are we people of God or people of the world? Do we try to mishmash the two together? What are we? What are our priorities in life? What are they? So Abraham, on his way, discovers that he is influenced by his family and he stops before he gets to the promised land. It's easy to become distracted, my dear friends. Do you know that when you get converted, it doesn't always happen immediately. It sometimes happens in bits and pieces. It sometimes happens in stages before we get the whole picture that comes to us. And so Abraham goes to this place called Haran, and he stays there with his family. Then God has got to intervene. And what did God do to intervene to bring Abraham back on track again? Abraham took his father away. His father died. And in all the sorrow of that particular moment, what do you think happened? God spoke to Abraham again and said, get on with the job. And so Abraham then walked on into the promised land until he got there. And when he got to the promised land, what do you think he found there? He thought maybe that God was going to give him an empty land that he could occupy. But no, the Canaanites were there, we read in verse 6. They were a warlike, hostile people. And here he was in the midst of them with his small little group of family and cattle and servants. He had no child, no heir. And yet God said to him, to your offspring I'm going to give this land. And so it's possible for Abraham to think that he was mistaken in what he thought was going on in his heart and life. It's possible that he thought he'd made a great misjudgment and that he got discouraged in this walk of faith, believing what God told him to do. It's possible that that happened. It's possible that that might have happened to you. It's possible that it might happen to anybody. And then firstly, what do you think God did then when Abraham was filled with distraction and difficulties and discouragement? What do you think God did? Well, it tells us that God appeared to Abraham again. God appeared to him. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. This is the first time in the Bible that we are told that God appeared to anybody. He had spoken to Abraham, but now through some theophany, he appears to Abraham. We don't know how. And he lifts Abraham's heart and spirit and says, to your offspring. Offspring, Lord? I've got no offspring. Yes, but to your offspring, I'm going to give this land. I'm not finished with you. I've got lots to do with you, Abraham. You're going to go through a lot. You're going to go through all kinds of things. But you believe me and trust me, and I'll finish the job with you. So that you, at the end of your days, will be filled with the fullness of faith in me. And so God appears to him and renews his promise. And what do you think Abraham's response to it was? He built an altar there. He said, yes, Lord, I believe what you were saying. I'm seeing more of the picture now. I'm in the same difficulties as I was before. But I'm going to build an altar here as a sign that I believe in you. And then Abraham moves from one part of that land to another part of the land, all owned by the Canaanites at the time, to establish God's ownership over the land of promise. And say, Lord, what you said you can do, you can do. Now let's remember, friends, for us, that it's possible to start out in the Christian life and for our Christian life to be filled with fits and starts. We don't always get the whole picture immediately. That's why we've got to grow. That's why we've got to keep coming. God speaks here and God speaks there until the thing comes together. And all we've got to go on is the Word of God. And for us to follow that Word of God, we need the inward light and the inward motivation of the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, you've got to be a true Christian. You've got to have the Holy Spirit within you so that when God speaks, you can pick it up. There's an instinct in you that says, this is the voice of God. And in the course of your journey through life, you may have many disappointments. You may have marital disappointments, church disappointments, children disappointments, work disappointments. But if you have the Spirit of God within you, if you have the voice of God, if you can remember by the Spirit of God, God saying to you, get out of this land and get into the new land. Walk out of the darkness and into the light. If you can remember that, if the Spirit of God is within you, no matter what the disappointments are, you will hang on to him in perseverance. And why? Because you know that at the end of the day, you know at the end of the life, however long your life may be, you know at the end of it all, the heavenly city is coming. The end of it all, the tears will be wiped away. The end of it all, the struggles will be gone. The end of it all, there'll be no more disappointments. And the end of it all, the relationship with the capital R will be restored. And all the disappointments of relationships with a small R will be done away with forever. It's worth hanging on with God. It's worth walking with him. But the walk of faith is not an easy walk. And don't ever think it is. Now, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus to thank you for your word and for the great example you give us in people like Abraham and others, and pray that our hearts may absorb what you are saying to us and that we may take it on board and integrate it into our own lives and live according to your word. And we pray that you'll fill us with encouragement today to remember that no matter what is happening to us today, there's a heavenly city coming, of which we will be part. In Jesus' name, amen.